Guys, have a great week. Man, praise God. Well, we're going to start a new series, as I said earlier. It's called The Fear of God, or The Fear of the Lord. This will be the introduction. It's called The Six Blessings. The Six Blessings. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Start there. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, Solomon spoke this, and if there's anybody that knows something about wisdom, it would be Solomon. And Solomon is saying, I've had success in my life because I've taken the wisdom of God and I have applied it to my life and I've had shining success with it. Now, there's something about Solomon's ability to hear from God, the wisdom of God, and be able to speak that wisdom. You know, back in those days, there were plenty of wise men. There were plenty of people that could come and sit at the feet of these wise men, and they would spew their wisdom and their knowledge, and people would listen to them. But there was something unique about Solomon. Because as we look in Scripture, people came from miles around. I mean, they would travel some for months with a lot of treasure and a lot of gold just to sit at the feet of Solomon and to hear what he had to say. Now, as far as I know, there has never been a wise man in history where people have gone great lengths to hear his wisdom. There's something about the wisdom that he shared back in those days that was so convincing to people, that people that would sit at his feet and people that would hear his wisdom and apply it to their life were startled to find out that it worked. That when you took the counsel from Solomon and you applied it with your whole heart, you got results. And it got around town. It got around the city. It got around the country. It got around to other countries. It spread throughout the known world. And they all came and said, it's true. What he is sharing is not just a bunch of babble. This is the real deal. Because I applied it to my life and it worked. And you get testimony after testimony of that and it starts to spread like wildfire. Pretty soon they're going, I got to get that wisdom. I got to hear this man. I got to load up the camels. And I mean, if I'm going to travel for weeks and months to get there, loaded up with riches, loaded up with goods, because I want to make sure that when I get there, that if I got to pay to hear this guy, because I mean, his seminars were renowned. They were willing to pay big money to hear Solomon share the wisdom of God. Because they weren't willing to pay for just any cycle babble. There was something about what the wisdom that he was sharing that when you applied it to your life, it had impact. It had power. It changed lives. And we have a tendency that when we read Proverbs, that we just kind of go, oh, well, that's just another book here. You know, oh, well, isn't that sweet? You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, that's just... And there are people that went, that traveled for weeks and months and paid lots of money to hear him say that. And for free, we get to sit here and read this and go, oh, well, We need to take what he is sharing here serious. It's the real deal. People in the past who have applied this to their lives throughout, you know, centuries past, have taken it, applied it to their lives, walked in it, and got results. Man. So we need to listen up. Pay attention to what Solomon is telling us here. It's the real deal. He's not just some wise guy. He is got the wisdom of God flowing out of him. Amen. So as we read these words again, I want you to take them more seriously. I want you to absorb them and take each and every word and chew on it and go, could it be true? Yes, it's true. Every word that he says here. So watch this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Meditate on that. Can we trust in the Lord with all of our heart? Is it possible to do something like that? He wouldn't have said it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit if it wasn't possible to be totally sold out to God, totally given over, trusting Him with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. God gives us direction in His Word. And when He gives us that direction, walk in it. Be obedient to it. It's for your good. And people of old have done this, even to this day, that have taken His Word quite literally and says, no, I am going to walk in this because God's Word says so. It's right from the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait until you feel a goosebump or a tingle or whoo-hoo before it's true. It's true because it's right there. The goosebumps come later. I can testify to that. You meditate in this and meditate on it and meditate on it. Whew. It starts making an impact on your life. It starts making an impact. There's a comfort in this. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. We talked about that last week. God's got paths for us already planned. Remember that in the Red Sea? It said in Psalm 77 that God already had a path laid out under the ocean already for the Israelites to cross through. It was already there. It was a matter of Him directing their paths right up to the mouth of that, the entrance to that path. And then He opened it up and went, oh, look at there, there's a path. And they walked through it and were delivered. Amen. You know, and the very thing, that water, that very obstacle that they thought was going to be their undoing, ended up being their deliverance. Because out the other end, the water closed up and they never saw Egypt again. That was the final to their deliverance. Wow. God is good. When we trust Him, when we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, in everything that we do. I mean, I go down to the store or whatever I'm doing, any decision making that I'm making, acknowledge Him in all, because you never, I mean, God can just direct your path and you run into something unexpected that ends up blessing you. Have a divine connection at Walmart. You didn't see it coming. But as you go to Walmart, say, let's not make this just a grocery store trip. Let's make this a divine connection, Lord. And your eyes have a tendency to pay attention. When you on purpose go, God has a purpose for me in everything I do. And the more you pay attention, the more God will reveal things to you. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. This is the wisdom of Solomon. That's being influenced by the Holy Spirit. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And he says this, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that's the part that sometimes we struggle with. I got to fear God? I've been taught not to fear. Am I really supposed to fear God? And there's some people that fear God to the place where God's going to get me. I better straighten out my act. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. And we're going to be exploring that over the next few weeks here. That the fear of the Lord is not a torturing, demonic, hatred, being fear of God type of fear. It's a reverential fear. It's a fear of respect for Him. Where you lift Him higher. Where you consider Him in everything you do. In fact, really, the description of the fear of the Lord is what we just read. Fearing God is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. There might be some of us that have struggled with maybe besetting sins or things that are in your life, and it seems like I can't seem to get over them. Listen to the secret of this. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's whatever level you fear the Lord, you're able to depart from evil. And the deeper you walk in that, the easier it is to go, no way, I've got so much reverence and respect and love for my God. Evil, get out of here. Where before there was this constant pull and this constant tug, and you're going back and forth, I just can't seem to get over this, and I'm constantly tempted. And it's like, man, remember Joseph? Joseph is tempted by Potiphar's wife. And Joseph looks at her. She goes, come on, lay with me, lay with me, lay with me, lay with me. He was battered with that for months upon months upon months while Potiphar was gone on whatever expedition he was on. And finally Joseph says, look, lady, how can I sin against my God? How can I disrespect my God and lay with you? He wasn't concerned about Potiphar. It's his wife. He was concerned about, how can I violate my relationship with my God? I love Him so much. I am not going to lay with you because I love my God so much, and that would not please Him. And it's easy to say no. I'll tell you what ties my heart so well with my wife and my commitment with her is because I love her and cherish her and respect her, that I wouldn't even think about looking at another woman to do anything with her. Because I love and respect her. I never want anything to change between us, ever. The people who end up committing adultery and stuff are those that don't have, they lack, well, we're going to get into that. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's look at Proverbs 3, 5 and 8. That's where you're at now. But I'm going to read it in the Amplified because it gives you a more in-depth of what Solomon is saying here. This is in the Amplified, verse 5. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord. And with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. That's, wow. In all your ways, know, acknowledge, and recognize, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, reverently fear and worship the Lord. Do you see that? And turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow and moistening to your bones. Praise God. You know, I'll tell you what, back in those days, You know, they're always talking about, you know, trusting the Lord and you'll have good health and you'll have, you know, back in those days, they didn't have very good physicians. Yeah, I mean, physicians today have a long ways to go today. But back then, buddy, were they hacks? I mean, they cut your brain open and they put, I mean, they just did all kinds of goofy stuff to you. Woman with the issue of blood went years and years and years and years with these physicians. And she was bleeding worse than before. And charging, charging, charging for it. Boy, they valued their health. And of course, we do too. We need these bodies to be about God's business, don't we? And how much better is it to walk in divine health, which is God provided for us, than to be constantly struggling with taking, you know, and I'm not putting people down that take pills and medication to keep themselves going, but how much better it is to not have to do that. Amen. And you should be believing God. I'm not telling you now when you get home now. I always have to clarify things. Don't dump your medicine now down the toilet and say the pastor said, you know, we need to be trusting God now. You'll know that you'll know when you're ready. Sheriff's did. When she was a little girl, she had epilepsy. And I mean, she had it bad. And she came up front and got prayed over and got healed. And she knew that she knew that she knew that she was healed. How old were you? 9 years old. And she took her phenobarbital and she went into the bathroom and threw them down the toilet and flushed it. And her mom and dad went bananas. You can't do that. What are you doing? And you know what? She never had to take another one again. They went in, did tests on her and says, we don't know what happened. Well, we know what happened. And she's never had a problem since. But there was a knowing down on the inside of her. And so until that comes, amen. So reverently fear and worship the Lord. Wow. That's what we're talking about in the fear of God, or the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 128 now. Psalms 128. Let's get into this. This is a real short psalm, but man, is it full of revelation. Psalms 128 and verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like fruitful vine in the very heart of your home. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fear the Lord. And the Lord bless you out of Zion. You may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, you may see your children's children. Now we said this was the six blessings of fearing the Lord. This is the six blessings of fearing the Lord. The first blessing is this. You shall eat the labor of your hands. You're blessed at your job and anything you put your hands to. See, when you fear the Lord and you give Him preeminence in your life, you allow Him to direct your path. When you trust in Him with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, and you apply that to the works of your hands and the job that you're at, He'll guide you, He'll prosper you, He'll make you look good, far better than you could make yourself look. I tell you what, when I worked in the print shop, I've been a printer for about 28 years. And that's my background, I'm a printer. And boy, I used to I ran this one machine called an Indigo 1000, and that press was not an easy machine to run. I mean, it took 6 weeks worth of training in order to run this machine, to go to a school, a remote school, to go run this machine. Well, she didn't have the money to send me. So she goes, these are the buttons to push, and you do this, and okay. And I went, huh? I'll tell you what, it'll teach you to pray. And it was a prayer time every day that I went there to run this press. I mean, it was something else. Even with all the experience I had in printing, this was nothing like I've ever run before. And that thing, there were so many things you had to tweak to make sure that the temperature was just right and the flow of the oils were just right and the inks did. It was just wow. But I prayed I prayed in the spirit in there all the time. Kula badati salamalanini. I mean, the thing would break down and the sensors would say that there's this problem over here, and I'd go, There's no problem here. I don't see no blockage over that sensor. I don't see why can't it. And I had jobs backed up. You call a tech and you might get them that day, and then it takes him 3 days to get out there, and the work's piling up. And I got to do something. It's on my shoulders. What am I going to do? Ah! And I'd find myself walking around the press like this. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh my gosh. What am I going to do? I got to get this done. The boss is going to be mad. We're not going to get this done. And then the tech's not going to be able to get here. And then And then down inside of me, something would go, stop! The Holy Spirit was getting dizzy. Who's in there, you know? I was getting dizzy. Going round and round and round that machine. And I'd go, okay, 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 okay. And I'd start walking around, and all of a sudden I'd start getting pictures would start coming up. And I'd go, huh, that's interesting. And I'd stop and I'd check that out. And I remember one time, this was awesome. I mean, I checked that sensor over and over and over again, reboot the machine, run it again, same sensor, tell me that there's a paper or something blocking the sensor. And I'm like, oh, what? All of a sudden, I saw a panel. I've been running this machine for over 4 years. All of a sudden, I see this little panel I'd never seen before. And I went, well, I wonder what that is. Because the sensor's right up, and then it goes up behind the... So I snapped the cover off, and there's another like little shelf there with a hole in it where the sensor... And there's a corner of a sheet of a piece of paper laying across that hole. And I went, hot dog. God is good. I pulled that little corner piece of paper out of there, and I took a little thumbtack on my bulletin board, and I went and stuck it on there, and I said, that's God did that. But I didn't find it until I considered Him, acknowledged Him. And when I acknowledged Him, He directed my path, snapped that cover back on there, and I got some work done. And I said, hot dog, I ain't going to need tech support anymore. And I'll tell you, there were many times when beyond my education, I could figure stuff out on that press by just simply stopping, praying in tongues, and going, God, I give it to you. And by golly, it's good if you're willing to step out. Don't just throw in a net. Throw in your nets. Put your total trust in Him. I remember when I was learning how to drive before I got into printing, they had me, I worked in a warehouse, a plumbing warehouse. It was a big mechanical contractor place there in Colorado Springs. And they said, we need a truck driver to haul our bulldozers and our heavy equipment. Who here wants to learn how to drive a truck? And my hand went up like this. And I went, what are you doing? Go, 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 go. But I was in now. So I thought, okay, okay, they're going to teach me. I mean, it gets me out of the warehouse. I want to get out of the warehouse. So I get in there. I hop up in the truck, and the mechanic hops in with me, and I'm going, okay, we're going to go for a ride. He goes, now this is how you start it. This is how you shift the gears. It was a dual gearbox, 4 gears here, 4 gears here. You know, this is how the air brakes work. Like, okay. Drive it around the neighborhood until you feel comfortable. Then we'll hook you up with a trailer and then you can drive that around and you go down and take your test. What? I mean, this big chunking piece of metal, man. But y'all tell you what, in about a month or 6 weeks, I had my driver's license and I was hauling heavy equipment around. And I came into some scrapes and God got me out of them. Thank you, Jesus. Just learning how to drive a truck. I know it was illegal. God bailed me out anyway. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, it's all the blessings that God is so wanting to pour out on His people. I mean, He wants all these blessings to be poured out. And He says, look, I'm going to pour all these blessings out on you. I mean, you're going to have so much surplus. You're going to have so much that you're not going to want for anything. He says, I just got this one concern. Just this one concern. And He ends it in verse 14. He says, all these blessings are yours, but I have just one concern. That you stay true to Me and not wander off to other gods and other idols. If you just stay true to Me, if you seek Me, if you stay true to Me, if you would just, so that we can have this intimate relationship, that's all He really wanted from Israel, and you boil everything down. He says, I want to just absolutely bless you to no end, and then some. If you just stay true, keep trusting Me with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Me in all your ways, and I will direct your path. And just simply fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's it. This seems like a simple secret, but it is a simple secret. And it's all through Scripture. Fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. And yet when the Lord would encounter somebody like Gideon or whomever, they'd say, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Well, which is it, God? Am I supposed to fear or not fear? And if we can differentiate between the two, then we can walk with more confidence with our God and our Savior. Amen? And that's what this lesson is about. So the next blessing, number two, is you shall be happy. How many people want to be happy? Okay, 10 of you. I know I want to be happy. And I'm like, if Solomon is saying by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, fear the Lord, you'll be happy. Well, actually, this is in Psalms, but it's still the Holy Spirit. If the Word says fearing the Lord will bring you happiness, then I'm going to fear the Lord. And there's a lot of people that say, well, if I fear the Lord, I'm going to feel condemnation. He's going to beat me up. Man, I came out of that. He's going to be after me. So I better fear the Lord. Oh, no. And I'm finding out fearing the Lord brings happiness to us. I'm having the time of my life. And the more I fear Him, the more I reverence Him, the more I exalt Him, the more I give Him preeminence in my life, the more I give Him the respect that's due Him, the happier I'm getting. It's good to fear the Lord. It is. And David, who may have wrote this, but anyway, the psalmist here is saying, look, that's what I'm experiencing. When I fear God, I'm happy. So if you want to get happy, get to fearing. I know that sounds contradictory, but we're gonna weed through this. Fear the Lord brings happiness. Isn't that good? Proverbs 28:14. Go ahead and pop that up there. Listen to what Solomon says here. Proverbs 28:14 says it all. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man who is always reverent. And the King James says fear, I think. This is the New King James. Happy is the man who always reverent. But he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Happy is the man who fears. Take the counsel. Trust what the Word says. That when we give Him reverence and respect and worshipfulness to Him, you're going to be happy. So is it worth pursuing the fear of the Lord? We're finding out it is, isn't it? It's worth pursuing that we should fear the Lord. The third thing is, things will be well with you. I can't tell you how well they are with me. They are extremely well. I'll tell you what, when Sherris and I took Zach to in 2009, we went to the campus days. Thank you. Jeez. So I'm gleaning from my brain over here. Went to campus days. You know, he's trying to decide, do I go in the military or am I going to go to school here at Andrew's school? And so we took off work. We supported him and we went to campus days. And he went on into the Air Force and we signed up for school. That was not our intention. That wasn't even on our radar screen. We just wanted to support him. We got great jobs. We're doing fine. Why do we want to mess this up? Because God had bigger plans. And I'll tell you what, I wrestled with it and wrestled with it and wrestled with it. I mean, her hand's just like going, I'm doing it, man. This is great, hon. Let's go up there and commit ourselves to it. And I'm going, oh, no. How are we going to pay for this? What? Are you nuts? I mean, we got to work. We got to be able to make the house payment. And we got bills to pay. And we got a lot of things going on here. I mean, we got great paying jobs. Why don't we want to stir that thing up? I mean, that's nuts. I mean, she's managing a dental office, and I'm running a print shop. And we're doing well financially. We weren't happy, really. We really weren't happy. We were dissatisfied. But, and so I struggled. She's up there. She's dedicating herself. Spiritual giant. Whoop-dee. She can go ahead and go to college. I'll do the responsible thing and work. And I'll tell you what, by the time she got back to the chair, God is getting all over me. By the time we get in the car and start driving home, out of my mouth comes, okay, I'll go to school too. Okay, I'll yield myself to it. Okay, fine. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work out. We're cutting our throats here. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we did. I said, okay, we'll go for it. And you know what? It was well for us. It went well for us. She lost her job immediately. Doesn't sound well, does it? 6 months later, the print shop that I was not going to go to college for because I was going to save this job because it's so good, fell out from underneath me. And they were willing to work with me. So I went to school in the morning and then went there and ran the shop in the afternoon and into the evening. They immediately let her go. They said, walks in and goes, well, I want to go to school. I want to go to college. And they said, well, then we don't need you anymore. See ya. Just like that. They just pulled the plug. It's like, what? Oh, yeah. This was a Christian man that did that. The one that I was with, I mean, she went to church, whatever, but she wasn't like the guy that she worked for. And she goes, oh, yeah, no problem. Go to school. Wonderful, wonderful. And it ended up being well for us because she ended up getting a job. That very year, Andrew decided to start a print shop in the college. That very year. And I had a divine connection with a guy that set that up. He was a third-year student. His job was to set up the print shop and find a replacement because he was going to start a college in Plymouth, Massachusetts. I walked right into the job, and it was what I'd been doing for the last 5.5 years. It was perfect. So I was able to go to school and work a job there, and everything worked out. It was well with me. Man, I tell you, trust Him. He's got a plan. Let go. Let go. And our lives haven't been the same since. We talk about it almost daily. I am so thankful that we just trusted in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our understanding. She was able to do that better than me. But I'm so thankful that I did it. And it ended up being well with me. Because I put God first. I feared Him. Are you hearing this? The fourth thing is, you will have a happy marriage. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. How many wants a happy marriage? Yeah. It's well with you when you got a happy marriage, isn't it? Let me tell you something. The goal to being married is not just to hang in there and put in your time. Hey, okay, now, for those of you that have a more serious marriage or whatever, I mean, you go, what is that? But I'm telling you, I have counseled enough people, seen enough people to let you know that the only reason why they're together is because, we don't want to get a divorce. They're not flourishing. They're not building a relationship with each other. They live in separate rooms. They hardly talk to each other. But I've been married for 14 years. And they don't even know each other. The goal of marriage isn't how many years you can stay together. It's to have a happy marriage. And you might think, well, that's a no-brainer. Some people are going, huh? Really? It's true. To be happy and to be growing together, that is what a marriage is. And children are a blessing. Doesn't it say that on there? And some of you are going, when? When is that? Yeah. Psalms 127:4. Go to Psalms 127, real close. Psalms 127. Psalms 127 says this, verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy, now this is the Amplified, happy, blessed, and fortunate is the man whose quiver is filled with them. They will not be put to shame when they speak with their adversaries in gatherings at the city gates. A quiver is believed to be a grouping of 5 arrows. Now, we just have one kid and we're quivering. But a quiver is 5 arrows. And it says an arrow in the hand of a warrior is like a child, one's youth. Look, here's an arrow. Now, you know, nowadays they've got all kinds of machines and stuff that can make these arrows. But back then they had to handcraft these things. They had to take an arrow, and it was a skilled craftsman to build an arrow, to get a perfectly straight shaft, to get the feathers and to get everything just right and get that arrow balanced just right. It was a craft to do that. It was hard work. You had to know what you're doing. You had to study the art of building an arrow. Because the slightest crookedness in that arrow would send that arrow, whoop, you'd never hit your enemy. You're in danger of hitting your friends out in the field. It was important that the arrow was very carefully crafted. And he says that children are like an arrow. Kids, just arrows don't just come to be. They have to be carefully crafted and skillfully made. And we need to treat our children the same way. We need to take time to invest in them and get the shaft nice and straight. Get the feathers just right. Invest in your children. Otherwise, if they come out crooked, they're going to be less than a blessing to you. Is it possible? The Word wouldn't say so if it wasn't so. We need to carefully craft our children into children that fear the Lord and reverence the Lord. Amen. This is important because if you do, they'll be a blessing to you. They will be a blessing to you. You know, our kids were not hard to get along with. I mean, they were pretty good kids. I mean, they didn't get into a lot of trouble. I mean, they got into some, but I mean, you know, they had their, we got dings and dents in our cars to prove it. But we went through a period of time in our lives where we just didn't seek God. I mean, we got hurt by the church, and so we stepped away from the church, and we wallowed in self-pity, and we carried on for a ridiculous amount of time, where our kids never really saw us pursue the things of God. But I praise God that the last 3 years that they were with us, that we got our act back together and says, "Dear Lord, we repent. We're just, you know, we should have never been gotten offended." Man, I tell you, I know the value and have heavy respect for offense. It will destroy your life. Don't ever walk in offense. Get rid of it quick. It's a snake that'll bite you. And it's hard to find a cure for it. So don't even go there. But we recovered. 8 years. And we recovered. And our kids got to see us walk in the things of God. I mean, when we came back, we were a bigger bear about God than we ever were before. And they watched us. And at first they were like going, "What are you doing?" For years we said, "Don't go to a church because that's full of a bunch of hypocrites and a bunch of liars and you never want to get in contact with them." That's how angry I was. And now we're going to this church full of haters and liars. And they're going, "What are we doing here?" But praise God, we had time to spend with them. And today they're serving God, aren't they? They're going, "Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord." But they didn't get it by us stuffing the Word down their throat or making them do this or that. They just simply watched us and we demonstrated our love for God. And after they left home, that they would come back and go, "I remember my life right now is a mess. And I remember before we left home what you guys were, you know, what was going on. I want that." I'm going, "Well, that isn't hard." And I'm telling you what, the best way you can craft that arrow is to show them that you fear the Lord. And you're walking in the fear of the Lord. And they see it. And they see it going to work. And they see it prospering your life. They'll want it. They'll never forget it. But you're going to have to demonstrate that for your kids. You can't just bark at them, "Fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord." You're going to have to demonstrate it in your life. That speaks volumes. Amen. The fifth thing, the sixth is, you will be blessed. And I'm telling you, that's the heart of God, is to bless you. He wants you to be blessed, blessed, blessed. The first thing that He did when Adam and Eve were created and He stood them in the garden, the first thing they heard to come out of God's mouth, not anything else but this, He blessed them. He blessed them. That's God's heart for us. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have such an abundance in our lives. a relationship with Him that is just so, wow. And Adam and Eve had a fear of God. And what they mean by that is that they had such a respect for Him and such a love for Him and such a depth of relationship with Him. Wow. Amen. And it took some serpent to talk them out of it. That's a shame. Get your depth with Him to such a place that the devil can't talk you out of nothing. And I've said it before. Things can get really tough. And we need to be established in the things of God. Amen? We need to be established in God's blessing. Number six, it will affect our children's children or your grandchildren. This is generational what you're doing. When you fear God and demonstrate that fear of God to your children, you're doing it for your children's 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 children. They'll always remember. I can't tell you how many people come and says, yeah, you know what, I'm serving God today because grandma. Wow. The bonus of fearing God is just amazing. Really, if I teach you the fear of the Lord, all of these blessings will actually come naturally to you. If we just simply fear God, everything that I just talked about will automatically function in your life. It is so important for us to understand what fearing the Lord is. And when we get a good grasp of that, these blessings will come upon us. They're ours for the enjoying. Amen. So in closing, go to Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. Acts 9:26. The question is poised. The fear of the Lord is not just an Old Testament, but also a New Testament teaching. This is not just an Old Testament. And we're going to discover that throughout this lesson. Our culture and society is suffering because of a lack of fearing God. Can you testify to that? I mean, they have kicked God out of our public schools. Our government is struggling with humbling themselves before God. They don't have any respect for God. We can build this utopia ourselves, God. You can just stand right over here. We know what we're doing. And it's falling apart. They're not happy. They're not enjoying the good things of life. Because they have not feared the Lord. And so there's all kinds of goofy decisions that are being made. Things that are happening in our society. That they're imposing on us. Blessed is a nation that has a God-fearing king, the Word says. Because if you've got a God-fearing king, then he's going to fear God and he's going to bring goodness to the land. But if he doesn't fear God and chases after idols and other things other than God, then the people suffer as well. Well, that's why we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our leaders. There's just a lack of fearing God. Most churches don't know what fearing God is. But let's find out because we know it's important. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Is fearing God just an Old Testament concept? Now, Saul has been persecuting the church. I mean heavily persecuting the church. Now, we assume that Paul just, he persecuted Stephen. And you know, because as they were stoning him, they were throwing their coats down at his feet. And right after that, he goes right into the Sanhedrin and says, look, I want, you know, documentation where I can go out and put a stop to this Christian organization that's rising up, this doctrine that's rising up. But it's obvious that there was a period of time between there, because as we read this, just keep that in mind, because there was a great deal of fear throughout the land. You said the name Saul, and everybody shook in their boots. This guy was a tyrant. This guy really, really, really believed that he was doing God a service, killing the Christians that he was. And so it says here in verse 26, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, this is after he got born again and he started ministering amongst the Gentiles. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, it's the road to Damascus, and that he had spoken to him. And he had preached boldly at Damascus and in the name of Jesus. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out. So they were watching him. They were checking him out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed among the Hellenists. These were debaters, and they took great pride in their knowledge and whatnot. But they attempted to kill him because they just couldn't refute what Paul was teaching. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Now watch this. Then the churches throughout all Judah, Galilee, and Samaria. That's a lot of area. That's who he was persecuting. He had such a name in these areas, man, they were afraid of Saul. So he'd done a lot of persecuting. That throughout all Judah, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And they were multiplied. They were multiplied. What does fearing the Lord bring? It brings multiplication. If we're walking around fearing God, respecting God, showing reverence to Him, people are going to notice. They're going to say, they have a relationship with God that I didn't know was possible. I want in on that. You want to be a witness for Jesus? Fear the Lord. Build on your relationship with Him. Get more intimate and more intimate and more intimate. The depths are boundless. Don't ever think that you're going to run out of space. God is infinite. And the deeper, and the more you come closer to Him, the more you start looking like Him. The more you have His heart, the more you know what He likes and what He doesn't like. And how much you want to do what He likes and not what He don't like. It's the truth. And we start looking and we're bold about our relationship with Him. Because it's so much a part of our lives that comes out of our mouths all the time. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Man, those guys are Jesus freaks. But it seems to always be well with them. They seem to always be happy. Man, their marriages are always good. I mean, next thing you know, they're wanting to do business with you. It's the truth. You want to be a witness? Be a disciple. A devoted follower. That's what a disciple is. Not just a convert. A devoted follower. One who seeks God with his whole heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And leaning not unto your understanding. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, trust what the Word says. If there's a lackluster life you're living, I'm giving you the key to unlock a better life. And it doesn't going to happen just on Sunday mornings. This has got to be your life breath. It's got to get you up in the morning and put you to bed at night. But trust that what you get out of it is wow. Wow. I want you so much, and I think this is just the Spirit of God that's in me, that you walk as close to God as you can possibly walk with Him. And He's not the one shutting the door on you. He's not the one drawing back. He's not the one going, ooh, I don't know. It's you that determine what kind of walk you have with Him. You're as close to God today as you've determined to be close to Him. It's not Him that's determined. He's all in. It's you that He's waiting on. I'm finding this to be the truth. And the only work there is to this is just simply trusting in the Lord and not in yourself. Just letting yourself go and having that intimacy with Him. That's the secret to it. That's the work that's involved. It's simply, it says in Hebrews that you need to work and you need to, I can't remember how exactly, you need to work to get into the rest of God. Get into His rest. It's work. It is. For us to lay ourselves aside and let Him fill your emptiness and fill that gap that's in your life. And simply pursue Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you think Jesus knows what He's talking about? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You need to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. What wonderful benefits there are to that. Now we'll get into next week what fearing the Lord is not. Because once we can see what it is not, then we can... Because what it's not is what we endeavor to walk in. And what churches often promote. And so when we know that this is... Because there's going to be some cleaning out of our thinking. We're going to be thinking, fearing God is not what you think. And what you've been taught. Maybe since you were a child. So we're going to flush that out. And then we can receive the Lord and fearing Him with a healthy fear. A good fear. A fear that's going to cause you to love Him and want to walk in Him deeper and deeper and deeper in an intimacy you've never known before. How many want that? Whew. You're in the right place. Praise God. I'm sharing with you the things that I'm experiencing right now. And I want so bad for you guys to have the same thing. And I'm growing and growing and growing. And it's, man, it's good. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.